Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Who came expecting to receive from the Lord tonight? Well, lift your hands one more time. Father, I thank you for giving me a worship leader that doesn't put people to sleep. And I thank you, Father, for California. I thank you for Los Angeles. I thank you for the people of Los Angeles, Southern California. I thank you that your hand is on this state. I thank you that you love the people of this state. I thank you that you're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for touching people's lives tonight and changing them by your power. For all these things, we give you praise, honor, and glory, both for what you have done and in advance for what you're going to do. For you're a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Give the Lord another great hand clap. You can be seated. Well, tonight, I'm going to pray for everybody like I have the other nights. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. This is my second trip into Los Angeles for these meetings. We came in January and then came back now because we do assignments that God gives us, and then you see what comes out of it. I was thinking when I was driving here, I was on a television station, a Christian television station in Texas, and this was back about a year ago at this time. So I was on TV at 2 p.m., and then I was going to just go to dinner with my wife and then fly home the next day. And I got the idea. Well, actually, I felt the Lord give me the idea. Since you're here, why not bless the people that are in Texas? So we put an announcement out about 2 days ahead of time and said, we're going to rent a ballroom if you want to come. And a bunch of people came. And then I felt the Lord speak to me at the end of that service, come back next month. And so I did. I felt that. And I had enough going on in Pittsburgh and on the road. I was just thinking about it. So my Uncle Ted called me, who's a prophet, a real one. And he said, he said, what'd you think about that meeting you did last night in Fort Worth? So I said, what do you think about that meeting I did last night in Fort Worth? I want to hear what he had to say. And he said, I think you should keep it going and see what comes out of it. And eventually the church that we have at Revival Today Fort Worth came out of that as it kept progressing. Now, I'm not saying that for here, but I felt for January, when I was here, I felt to come back and bless you. And if you've been here, you can tell these have been meetings where God has touched people, that God loves the people of California. You know, basically about 50% of the reason I'm here is I don't want to be a jerk from the East Coast, a jerk preacher that just yells about California all the time. God loves people in California. God loves the church in California. And how many of you believe God has a plan to do great and mighty things in your life in Jesus' name? I believe that with you. And I believe God's going to use tonight as part of what he has for your life. How many of you believe that with me? So I'm going to show you one of those assignments God gave me, and it's going to dovetail in to what the Lord would have us talk about tonight that is going to help you. I had another kind of odd instruction. There's a motorcycle rally every year called the Sturgis Bike Rally. It's the largest one in the world. People ship their motorcycles in from Europe and Asia. People come from everywhere. And I felt the Lord speak to me one day when I was praying. I'd never been there. I don't have a motorcycle. Actually, I was never that good at pedal bikes, to be honest with you. And I felt the Lord speak to me. I love those people there. And many of them love me. They just don't know about me. You know, bikers are interesting people. It's like the Italian mob. They might do things that are wrong, but if you take the Lord's name in vain, they don't like that. It's like they have like a respect for God. And so God said, I want you to go out and bless them. So there's a place called the Buffalo Chip. And you can rent a stage there. Snoop Dogg was coming. Kid Rock was coming. And then the guy let me use the stage. So we did the meeting the first night and preached about Jesus. And I definitely wasn't going to lay hands on people because I don't, from what I've seen from movies, bikers don't like you to lay hands on them. If you lay hands on them, they'll lay hands on you. So I wasn't going to pray for anybody. But when I finished preaching and giving the altar call, it was interesting because it was outdoors. There's nowhere to sit, and they just stood, and they had sunglasses on. I think as soon as the motorcycle comes with sunglasses, and I think if you ever take the sunglasses off, you have to give the motorcycle back. So I couldn't really tell how the meeting was going because they're just like this. They weren't obstinate, but they weren't lifting their hands or anything either. But then when I gave the altar call to receive Jesus Christ, I watched them all basically go like this. And then they came to the front. So I prayed the sinner's prayer with them, and I was going to split. you know, just we were going to give him a Bible and all that. I was coming back the next night. But when I did, a lady came up and said, can you pray for me before I could get off the stage? She, biker lady, not there were no church people there. She said, can you pray for me? My child has leukemia. I said, I will pray. When I finished praying for her, there were three more people like this. So can we also have prayer? I said, sure. Most of these people is their first time hearing the word of God, especially with the supernatural aspect to it. And so I prayed. And then when I finished with them, basically everybody that came that night was standing there with their hand lifted. And I said, all right, everybody line up. And I prayed for everybody. Well, that was something, you know, sometimes you think you're going to bless people, but then God uses those people to bless and change your life. And the Lord said, look how hungry and desperate people are for prayer. Maybe you're like that tonight. You know, I tell this story, I need to think of a better example because it's a weird story, but it's a true story. My grandfather pastored for 62 years, and one of the places he pastored, there was a kid that was 5 years old that kept eating the erasers off all of his pencils. And so then he started eating, taking bites out of the tires on the bicycle in the garage. So they brought him for prayer thinking he might have who knows, demon possessed or what. That's weird. But then they found out, my grandfather said, no, he's not demon possessed. Take him to a doctor and they're going to tell you what the problem is. And the problem was in his diet. He was born with a sulfur deficiency. And so at 5 years old, you don't know that there's sulfur in erasers. You don't know that there's sulfur in rubber tires, but something on the inside of him knew that the thing that he needed was in those things. There's a verse in the Bible, deep calleth unto deep. So maybe you were even wondering why you drove here tonight. What am I doing? Somebody called you on the way. Want to go out tonight? No, where are you going? I'm not really sure. I saw something on Instagram and felt to go or whatever. Well, there's something on the inside of you that calls out to the thing that you need. And just like that kid had a sulfur deficiency and was reaching out to where the sulfur was, people need the power of God, and something in them reaches out to the power of God. And I know that's what brought many of you out tonight. How many believe God's not going to leave you disappointed? He's going to do something great in your life. Amen. So I prayed for those people and realized how much people need help. No pride. They didn't say, no, you know, I'd like prayer, but I'm on a biker thing. What are these people going to think of me? They all just came forward very boldly and asked for prayer. Well, that was the first thing. But then the second thing was the next night, having a bunch of people waiting for me to tell me, like with their jaws open, you're not going to believe what God did last night. People that have been Christians for about 16 hours. You know, didn't know anything, and the testimonies blew me away. So I can't play all of them. But one of the ones I'm not going to play, I just went off my notes at one point. And I said, if something bad happened in your family, it's not God that did it. And I started preaching along those lines. And I said, if the devil had something bad happen in your family, he did it. And then his second plan is to get you to blame God. This big guy, he wasn't only a big biker, he was the president of a chapter of that motorcycle club. He came forward and he said, my daughter was murdered. And he said, you know, it's interesting how people have no religious background, but somehow the devil gets them to know enough of the Bible to hate God and just turn him against God, or know like verses out of context. And so he said, I thought, well, I know everything that happens is God's will. And I thought, if God wants to do that, I don't want to know that God. Well, who would blame him? If God was going around killing people's kids, I'd avoid him. And that's why most people end up with a relationship with God similar to the relationship they have with the IRS. Find out what the minimum is you need to do. Get baptized. Make your first communion. Go on Christmas and Easter. And then, are we cool? All right, now leave me alone. Because they're not taught. See, the IRS, when you pay your taxes, if you paid them by the 15th, they're not going to come visit your house and give you a hug and say, now listen, we got your taxes. Is there anything we can pray with you about? You did so much for us. Can we do something for you? It's a one-way relationship. Pay your tax and we'll leave you alone. And if you don't pay your tax, we won't leave you alone. We're going to bother you. And people think that about God. Do things to keep him at bay. But if you don't, he's going to come and smack you. But God's not looking to curse people. He's looking to lift the curse off of people and change. The Bible says, I will change your curse for a blessing. You know, that's what you're going to see on these testimonies. So when that guy said, when I heard that, I realized it was the devil that did that to my family and that God had a plan for me. And I realized the whole thing, the devil's been using this to make me angry at God. And he came forward and received Christ and gave me a big hug. He said, do you mind if I hug you? Well, if you could see what he looked like, I feel like saying, what difference would it make whether I mind it or not? You could overpower me and have your guys hurt me. But he hugged me. And then these two that you're going to see, yeah, and I loved putting them on Christian TV because number one, when we put those programs on TV, those bikers didn't know what they were really coming to, you know, and they didn't necessarily have like church appropriate clothing. So they were wearing t-shirts with sayings on them that were so foul. And we missed it. You know, we were just putting the clips on TV and sent it. And we got a stern email from the Christian television network. They said, you couldn't even put that on HBO, let alone Christian television, because those guys had sayings on their shirt. So we had to blur out people's t-shirts. But one guy that got saved, Rom, if you can find the picture, I'll be your best friend for life. It was the funniest thing. I don't know. Yes. How'd you know what I was going to say? You know, it's not every day you get to preach and a guy's wearing a Viking helmet with a bra on it. And these guys were so unchurched that when we gave the altar call and said, lift your hands, you know how you're supposed to lift your hands like this? This guy lifted his hand. He went like this. Like, gave the devil horns. Thank you, Jesus. So you're talking about raw. He forgot he had the hat on. He came up to me after, Viking helmet with a bra impaled on it. He said, Reverend, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. And it was all I could do to say, I have a feeling it's also the only sermon that you've ever heard. How many know God doesn't care who you are or what you've done? The moment you turn to him, God will make all the... Man. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, because I've been trying to fight this off all week. I'm going to come back every quarter this year. So we do... January, and then this is April, and then we'll come back in the summer as well, because this is, I could live till I was 120 if all I did was preach to you. The nicest people, I love you with all my heart. I'm so thankful that you came. So yeah, if you want to get rid of me, you're going to have to be meaner to me, because I really like you, and I like your food. Holy moly. I'm not going to come back any more than once a quarter. I'm going to be in a scooter wearing sweatpants. Last night, you ever been to this place called Fat Sal's? Well, if you want to stay in shape, don't go. I went last night, and they have Philadelphia cheesesteaks. And most times when people advertise Philadelphia cheesesteaks, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm not from Philadelphia, but I'm from near Philadelphia. So not only am I going to teach you the Bible tonight, I'm going to teach you how to make a proper sandwich. Usually when they say Philly cheesesteak at a restaurant, they use top sirloin or some low-grade meat, sometimes steakums. Then they put green peppers. There's no green peppers on that. A Philadelphia cheesesteak has ribeye, high-grade ribeye shaved, and then they use Cheese Whiz because originally, I know it sounds gross, but when you taste it, it's not gross. Originally, they were made in the Jewish part of town, and the Orthodox Jews won't eat meat roasted in its mother's milk. So they use the cheese substitute, and then they saute it with onions. That place, Fat Sal's, I saw they used ribeye on the thing. I said, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. I don't want to say it was good, and I also don't want to say that I've had three in the last 14 hours. That's 36 inches of sandwiches. And if Dr. Oz saw the way I've been eating since I've been in California, he would be crying right now. He'd be over in a corner in a puddle of tears. I had a great time over there down by Venice Beach. I haven't had one negative encounter the entire time I've been in California. I met the best people that I've ever met in my life. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You know, not that anyone cares, but I've been preaching twice a day. Basically all year. Rachel could tell you that I think I've already preached over 100 times this year already. I don't know if we're at about 100 days. So I've been doing about twice a day. I've been on the road a lot. I've been home basically, I'll get home Saturday, like this week. I'll get home Saturday at 8 a.m. I'll be with my family all day Saturday, Sunday for church, and I'll take off in the afternoon and go back to Washington State because I have a church in Pittsburgh. Though it'd be easier just to go up from L.A., looking at the map up to Washington, you can't leave your church. So you go back there and then I'll go back. I've been running that, but thanks to you, I actually preach into you every night, happy, kind people. I feel better at the end of this trip than I did when the trip started. So from the bottom, you know what? Instead of me thanking you, I bless you in the name of Jesus. The blessing that you've been to me in this ministry, may it be multiplied back on you tonight in Jesus' name. How many know tonight's going to be a special night in the name of Jesus? So I want to show you this. Again, if you weren't here last night, it's worth resetting. I've been kind of dealing with how God doesn't hold people's sins against them. In fact, Jesus got rebuked when he was on the earth. Yeah, imagine that. So if people treat you unkindly, just remember they did the same thing to Jesus. He never did one thing wrong. Jesus was eating at a table, the Bible says, with publicans, tax collectors, and the worst kind of sinners. Everybody say the worst kind. You know, when I think worst kind of sinner, I think Viking helmet with a bra on it. Worst kind of sinner. For you to wear that around in public, you're a proud sinner. Amen. And so, I'll lay off. I can tell that the crowd's starting to turn on me. We'll move on. So, you know, I brought my child tonight, and I don't appreciate this. So, Jesus ate. He didn't ignore the worst kind of sinner. He ate with the worst kind of sinner. And religious people said, if he was the Son of God, in one translation, the New Living Translation, it says he wouldn't eat and drink with such scum. He would know what kind of people those are, and he wouldn't eat with them. Luke chapter 19, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost. That's still the heartbeat of Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian, I'm also a Christian. God doesn't stop loving you when you become a Christian. He continues to love you. But his love is also extended towards unbelievers. That's why in Christianity, we don't blow people up that don't agree with us or kill people that don't agree with us. We actually want to reach them and let them know that once too, we were apart from God. But God reconciled us to him by sending his son to die on the cross. And you know, as I've engaged in that kind of work, to go after people that don't know the Lord. That doesn't make any sense. You want to know how little sense it makes to go do that biker meeting? It makes so little sense that the guy that owns the Buffalo Chip asked if he could speak with me while I was there. And this is on day 3. So I went to go see him, and he said, Jonathan, I've been watching you. He said, can you explain to me how you make any money? He said, I know you're a preacher and stuff, but he said, I've counted up how much the sound system costs, the stage, and he went through everything. He said, I would guess you have about $300,000 in this event. I said, you're right, about $308,000 is what they told me. He said, well, you haven't even taken any offerings. You know, it was a crusade. He said, how do you make money? I said, I know I'm going to sound like some space cadet here, but since you asked, I said, you run a business. Your business measures profit and loss by money. In the ministry, you don't measure profit and loss by money. You measure it by souls coming into the kingdom. And then if you do that for the one who owns the business, then you never have to raise money. The one that sent you to go get the people funds you. So like for that in particular, when we announced we were going to go to Sturgis, one guy came up to me at the end of the Sunday where I said we're going to go out there. And he said, I want to do something to help you. And he handed me a check for $200,000. Then another guy was waiting in line. That was an older guy. A younger guy was waiting in line behind him. And he said, I want to help you. He didn't know what the other guy was giving, but it was like it was a contest and he wanted to beat him. He gave me a check for $205,000. That guy was only 39 years old, young businessman. Older guy gave, younger guy. So even going into the meeting, I had more than enough. And I found out if you go get the people that Jesus died for, Jesus will always make sure you have plenty of money to go get them. How many know California is going to get shaken by the power of God? God's going to raise up fiery evangelists, fiery young pastors, put a fire on older pastors to have the best year that they've ever had in the ministry in Jesus' name. So this will show you, and I think maybe God's having me play this because you do feel, I mean, I can't put words in your mouth, but as bold as I am, sometimes that's why I wasn't going to pray for any of the bikers. You think, you know, you've imposed on people enough just having them come here and hear the word. Don't start like putting your whole thing on them. But people are hungry for God. You're not forcing something on them. They're looking like that kid was looking for sulfur. They're looking not for religion. They're looking for the power of God. And so when you mimic what Jesus did, Jesus said, I don't care about you Pharisees and Sadducees. You already know everything. So go knock yourself out. The doctors don't go treat healthy people. They go and treat sick people. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost. Are there lost people in California? Sure there are. But is there still a God who has power that he's given to the church to reach the lost? Yes, there is. I want to tell you tonight, and you that are watching online and on television, no matter who you are, no matter how bad a shape you're in, you're only one prayer away from the power of God picking you up out of your pit and putting your feet on the rock to stay. Go ahead and clap your hands. Enjoy this testimony.
I came last night and I felt so good. And then today I haven't eaten. Like, I can't eat. 4 years of this pain and throwing up and I'm skinny, you know, but I ate two meals today. I've had some juice. I've had a whole bunch of stuff. Everybody's like, are you okay? Why are you eating? This is for real. Like, I don't know. I don't know, like I came to Sturgis to hang out, buy bike parts. Then I found Jesus and it's a whole different thing here, right? God is way bigger than anything, and I know for a fact today, in my heart, we got lots of medical doctors, but there's only one big physician, only one, and he's the only one that can do it. And I don't got it anymore, like I don't know where it went. I've eaten today, I ate part of my boyfriend's burger. There's no other explanation. There's really just not. Yes, I just believed it. And it happened. I've never felt like this in my life. Never. I'm telling you, I'm healed. I almost can't wrap my own head around it because it's so 4 years not eating. I'm drinking Ensure for old people, right? I can't eat. I've had a whole meal.
Praise God. God is good.
I don't know what else to say.
No, God is good.
God is amazingly good. He's my physician right
Pause
now,
it.
Right?
No, I'm not preaching on this as a point tonight, but I'll just get it out of the way now. For all the churches that teach that how many know sometimes God sends sickness so that he can receive glory, God, the Bible says in Luke 13, there was a woman who had been sick for 18 years, and Jesus touched her, and she stood straight up. Oh, how she praised God. God didn't get any glory when she was sick, but he received much glory when she was healed. That lady, I bet you that lady, all the time she's been to Sturgis, has never been in that field going like this. God is amazingly good. See, miracles are not some side aspect of God. When you get touched by God's power, it brings you into a relationship with God. God wants to, you don't have to earn it. God didn't say, now listen, as soon as you marry your boyfriend and as soon as you get that tattoo removed, then I'll touch you. He'll meet you right where you are. There's a story in the Bible. Anybody ever heard of the prodigal son? The prodigal son had wasted all his money on riotous living. And... let me get one good one. That's the only thing. Since I went to Venice Beach, I started smoking, but I'm gonna get delivered of it tonight. So just bear with me. Keep me in prayer if you would. It was a mistake. We've all made mistakes. I'll stop. So the Bible says when the prodigal son had wasted all his money on riotous living and had come to the end, he said, you know what? My father will never accept me back as a son. But if he'll let me just work for him, he treats his servants better than I'm living right now. So he comes with this plan, like he's going to have to talk his way back. Oh God, you know how much I've done wrong, and I know. And while he was afar off, the Bible says the father would wait and look every day, hoping his son would come back. So as he's thinking he's going to have to come and talk his way back in, while he was yet afar off, the father did what? Ran. not walked, not sent servants to come help him. The Father himself ran and wrapped his arms around him and put his robe on him and put his ring and threw him a party. For my son who was dead is now alive and has come home. God loves you more than any preacher can ever put into words. And I'm telling you, whatever you feel like you've messed up, God will bring you back to himself tonight in Jesus' name. Go ahead, finish the testimony.
He's mine. There's some doctors give me some guidance, but I'm going to go to the big physician from now on, because that's where it's at. That's where I'm going to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you.
Isn't that awesome? Now, this next one, this older guy, this guy was also a motorcycle club chapter president, and he heard me preach. You know, it's interesting, whether you even preach on miracles or not, even if you only preach on salvation, there's something when people hear about God that they feel like there's, you know, this God that you're talking about, if these things are true, he can help the problem I'm having. So this guy comes up and you'll see him with his long beard. And he said, can you pray for my friend? Now this guy's been his motorcyclist friend for a long time. And now he has major lung problems. He's sitting there in a chair. They got a chair for him. He's on oxygen. And so I said, sure, I'll pray for him. Now let me tell you, and when you hear this guy talk, you'll know what I'm talking about. I was super careful. I'm not going to come in there and slap his friend's head. I'm not going to do it to you either. But I could, you know, they're all new to this. The guy's got skull rings on and all that. And so I was going to go real careful. And when I got close to him, just like I know my middle name's David, I just knew. I didn't hear a voice or anything. I just knew things about him. That's a gift of the Holy Ghost. And what it did was it helps people have confidence in the prayer. Because I said to him, I said, now, you have three things that are wrong with your lungs. That was, at the time, that was all I knew. It was just like coming out of my spirit. So I was actually thinking to myself, I'm really looking forward to hearing what the three things are. I said, you have COPD, emphysema, and they've run tests and found a third thing, but they don't know what it is yet. And he had his head down waiting for me to pray, and he went like this. And I said, when I pray, the Lord's going to take those things out of your lungs. Now, before you watch this, when I played these videos, which I'm telling you, I went to regular high school and stuff. I understand critical thinking. You cannot tell me you're an honest person and watch that lady's testimony and say you feel I paid her to say that. If she did that as an actress, she should not be in South Dakota. She should be here working for Lionsgate Films. I mean, that's some pretty good acting. You could tell it's genuine. There's no like, hallelujah, I was sick and the Lord in his grace. None of that. You know, just telling the story. And then this guy, same thing. So I put the video up to encourage people that are sick. And this guy from Montreal, he wrote, you prey on weak-minded people, get them stirred up emotionally, and then take advantage of them. So I wrote back to him, because I was still in Sturgis. I said, if you would like to come here and tell this man that he's a weak-minded person who's been taken advantage of. And I meant it. I know what a ticket is from Montreal to South Dakota. It'd probably been about, if I flew in first class, it'd probably be $1,800. That's a small price to pay to watch a good fight. Amen. I said, I'll fly you to Sturgis, and you can come tell that man, the biker club chapter president, that he's a weak-minded man who got stirred up emotionally. I said, I'll pay for your trip here, but I will not pay for your hospital stay. I would have loved to watch that. This jerk come up to him and say, oh, you're a weak mind. Let me tell you, I don't think he'd have finished the sentence. They'd find him in a cornfield somewhere in Wyoming. Can you say amen? I don't know if Wyoming has cornfields, but I'm just trying to fill time. Because they try to dismiss this stuff. And yes, there are guys in lime green suits on at 2 a.m. that are selling miracle water that come from the ministry drinking fountain. I get that. But don't ever let the false steer you off of the real. God is a miracle working God, and he still answers those that call on his name. If you can testify to that one more time, do what you're already doing. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap. Watch this.
He came over here yesterday. We wanted to hear the message and see what was going on.
Pause it real quick. I won't keep interrupting, but even that's interesting to me, that they were bikers going by the field and they said, we wanted to come here and hear the message. The Bible will never grow old. Because people are created in the image of God and God wrote this book, it's like there's an attractant that people have to hear the word. And multitudes came to hear and be healed. Can you say amen? And they're still doing it now. You wouldn't think this guy would have any interest in the Bible. Look at the production quality we have now. We can put two pictures on at once, like a 1990s Panasonic TV. Amazing. Keep playing.
You walked up and you told him what he was suffering from. And you put your hand on his chest. And I've seen sideshows, but I've seen sideshows.
See this guy? While we're talking about miracles, and you don't seem like the most disagreeable crowd. So I'll say stuff I don't say everywhere. See him crying? He's a Marine. His name's Chuck Ondo. He goes to my church in Pittsburgh. He got saved and asked if he could come help me out in San Diego. South Dakota. Sorry, wrong SD. Very different places, by the way. So he had only been saved half a year, only knew Christ for half a year. Do you want to know how he got saved? This sounds like some testimony you'd hear from a missionary from India in 1930. If I wasn't there, I wouldn't believe it myself. We start every year in our church with 21 days of fasting and prayer. So I went to get a haircut, and my barber that I usually went to see had gotten fired because he got mad at the lady that owned the barbershop and said a couple things to her that will definitely get you fired. So they dismissed him. And then he was his understudy, who I didn't know. So it turns out he's a former undercover cop that helped put away the largest crime family in Philadelphia after he got out of the Marines. But then when he was undercover with the mob, you know, you end up getting messed up because every time they're passing around cocaine, you go, no, sorry, I can't do that. That's illegal. They'll kill you. So he ended up on drugs, ended up in jail. This is his testimony he tells publicly. So I didn't know any of that. So my barber's gone. I've already driven to downtown Pittsburgh, which is not easy to get to. There's no straight roads there. And I thought, he said, well, he's not here, but I'll cut your hair. I said, sure. So I sat down, and as he starts cutting my hair, I'm there to get a haircut. I had no plans to witness or anything. I was fasting. I was hungry. I was angry. He starts crying. And he's like trying to like shield from me that he's crying, but there's mirrors everywhere. So it's a losing cause. And he goes, can I say something to you? I said, sure. He said, you're going to think I'm crazy. He said, last night, because he had met me one time before, the last time I went to get a haircut, that was when he was starting to train under that other barber named Aaron. That was the only time we met. He said, last night, you came to me in a dream. He said, do you believe that? I said, tell me what I did in the dream, and then I'll tell you whether I believe it or not. If I came offering you Reiki crystals, it wasn't me. He said, you came to me in a dream, and you began to tell me about Jesus in the dream. And told me that you would help me if I let you and turn me to Christ. So I was thinking, man, that's great that there's some dream me that even when I'm sleeping or messing with people in their dreams. Good. So the Lord had so prepared that when he said that, and if that sounds weird to you, don't worry. It sounds weird to me telling it all these months later, but it happened. And he said, I know this must be God. Well, that doesn't make it exactly difficult to lead the person to the Lord. I said, well, I will help you if you let me. I said, why don't you come to church with me tomorrow? And I said, I'll pray with you right now. And that's when he opened up to me about his whole testimony. I took him by the hands and prayed for him. So then he gets a front row seat as he's helping me catch. He's standing behind while these people are getting healed. He'd been in church a few months. You know, then he brought his live-in girlfriend, Laura, and boy, she definitely let me know with her body language that she was there because he was making her. There was just one lady on the front row next to him like this. Then I watched her soften up and give her life to the Lord. Then I did their wedding and got to meet their sons and everything. And then he was on the road with me and watching that crying because, let me tell you something. If you'll give your life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not saying this, I'm telling you as a preacher's kid, this is the greatest life in the world, to watch God touch people's lives. Now, if you get into the dead, boring, religious part of it, I'm sure you feel like going up to the top of the Sheraton and taking a swan dive over the top because nobody gets help. But then when you do it this way, there's so many great things that happen every night that it's like a sabbatical every night. I'm telling you, you know, I've been here 1 week, half a week now. I got 2 nights left. I've had such a great time. The people I've met, the preachers that I went out with to that sandwich shop, everybody I've met, so nice. The hotel people, so nice. You know, I'm telling you, the next time I hear somebody downtown California, if there's no cameras around, I'll probably slap them. If there are cameras around, I'll have someone else slap them. Because even the people that work at the front desk, when we preached here last time, you know what they said on our way out? Hey, Reverend, thanks for coming to the Sheraton to preach. Like, what? I think that's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered in the history of the world. Thank you for coming to the Sheraton to preach. You're welcome back here anytime. You know, there's churches that wouldn't allow me to do this. There's churches that would tell you you're not allowed to pray for people. You're not allowed to do, don't preach too loud. Don't stand on the chairs. But you know what you learn about God? If the churches won't allow God to move, then God will start moving in places that were built for the secular world. But I'll tell you right now, nobody's going to stop this last day move of God. Nobody can stop the Holy Ghost. The government can't stop it. Religion can't stop it. The Democrats can't stop it. The Republicans can't mess it up. God is going to touch this last generation in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, since I talked for too long, play it from the beginning.
He came over here yesterday. Amen. We wanted to hear the message and see what was going on. And you walked up and you told him what he was suffering from. And you put your hand on his chest. And I've seen sideshows, but what I saw happen, I'm still dumbfounded. He left here, took the oxygen off of his nose, and he walked from here to our camp without oxygen. And at 10 o'clock last night, he was still without oxygen. And I think he put it on during the night because he's still not sure. He's not sure about what's going on. And today, all day until we got here and he walked, he sat down and put the oxygen on a low level to assist him. But that man has not had a breath without assistance in over a decade. So, till yesterday. But cats like him and cats like me, you know, we ain't getting fooled. We're not going to be played or fooled. But what I saw yesterday, it was probably the most powerful thing I've seen. And I, you know, we love the fact that you laid hand on him, and it worked. Whatever you did, whatever God did through your hand, that man is going to live a lot longer than all of us had hoped. So thank you, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. So laying hands on people all the time for 21 years. And when I say 21 years, my 21 years are like dog years. Because I don't preach on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. So I prayed for a lot of people. You find that people have the same misunderstandings about God that keep them. People say, well, that's great that happened for those people. But my aunt, she had a growth on her foot. And we prayed and prayed and it never went away. Well, how come some people get healed and some people don't? There's an interesting scripture in the Bible, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. Not have a hard time. My people are destroyed for a lack of, they don't know about me. Somebody, that guy from the biker rally would have gone to hell because somebody misinterpreted the Bible to him that God wanted his child murdered, that God was behind that. God has a will and we don't understand his will. I guess before I even read the text, that's something you have to understand if you're going to operate correctly in life. If you think everything that happens tonight in LA is God's will, you're not too bright. I mean, when you watch people laying in a puddle of their own urine down at Venice Beach tonight, if I go back there tonight, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, that's not God. God didn't create people to live like that. You say, yeah, but he allowed it. Yes, I could leave here and go to a Dunkin' Donuts and rob the Dunkin' Donuts and God would allow it. But God didn't will it. You never confuse what God allows with what his will is. God does not control people. I said, God doesn't control people. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of that tree. They did it. He never stopped them. Eve didn't go to eat the fruit and God appeared and slapped it out of her hand. No. He told them what his will is. They decided to not do his will and they suffered the consequence. So no wonder people don't want anything to do with God. If God sovereignly has pulled the strings on everything that's going to happen, I wouldn't want anything to do. That means he willed every murder in LA tonight. He murdered every police officer, willed every police officer that's going to get shot this weekend. No. There is a second character that the devil conveniently makes sure you don't know about, which is him. And he's the one that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who ultimately was behind that woman not being able to hold down any food? Is it God? Is it God? Who is it? The devil. Every evil thing, directly or indirectly, can be traced back to the devil. There was no children cancer wards in the Garden of Eden. There'll be no burn units or handicapped parking spaces or CVS pharmacies in the New Jerusalem and in heaven. When the devil came on the scene in Genesis, it was only a few verses later that one son killed the other son in the family and the home was broken. The devil's behind broken homes. The devil's behind division. The devil's behind anger. The devil's behind depression. But you know what the good news is? If the devil's behind that, and he is, then the Bible says Jesus didn't just come to die on the cross so people could make paintings and necklaces about it. He came to destroy, not deal with. He came to destroy the work of the devil. And so if everything negative in life is traced back to the devil and Jesus isn't going to destroy it, 2,000 years ago, he already destroyed it. That's why I tell you again with confidence, no matter what's gone wrong, you're only one prayer away from the power of God that was loose 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, coming down and knocking that devil's power out of your life and setting every captive free. I see you being set free tonight in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. Well, I went to go hear a preacher. His name's Io Arista Jafar. He's a much older man now. I went to hear him when I was 19. He was coming to New York. He had a church of 30,000 people in Warri, Nigeria. It had major miracles. So I was really looking forward to hearing what deep revelation he had. When they first gave him the mic, this is what he said. I won't do accents because I'm not good at them. I make everybody sound like Dracula. And he's not from Romania. He's from Nigeria. He said, God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. I thought, this is like Sunday school stuff. But you know what Billy Graham said? If you take the gospel and make it profound, the results will be simple. But if you take the gospel and make it simple, the results are profound. So that actually is a powerful. When I was 19, I thought, you're not even telling me any Hebrew or Greek. But now as I'm 43, I realize people don't need Hebrew and Greek. They need to understand that the devil has nothing good. What do you think is breaking loose right now in Hollywood? All these people made deals with the devil to get ahead. And they're finding out if the devil ever gives you a dollar, you'll pay him back $100 if you ever live to spend it. People end up with an 8-year cycle of fame, 15 years if it goes really good, 20 years. If I went down to the worst part of Los Angeles and met a drug dealer tonight outside that was dealing drugs, he said, you here to buy? No, I'm not here to buy. I wanted to ask you a question. What is it? What is your 20-year business plan? He'd drop his arms and say, I don't have a 20-year business plan. They'll tell you. I've preached in prison and stuff. They know. You don't have to tell them. He goes, no, if you keep doing this, they know. No, I'll probably be dead if I'm lucky in prison within the year. They know. Because there's no future. Everything's about now. That's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? God's not looking to help you pay your bills. He has a purpose for you he'll anoint your head with oil and your cup of blessings will run over. Can you say amen? But if people don't know that, they'll never receive it. And here is where I come into your life. How can they call on him to save them whom they've never heard? How can you call? How can you put a demand on something in the Bible if nobody's ever told it to you? When I told you I've been preaching twice a day, I'm not saying it like crying like a baby. I'm telling you, I would do more if it wouldn't wear people out. If you do three a day, your staff will probably pass away. Then you have to rehire, which I'm fine with, but then you have to rehire and retrain people. And so I just decided to go with two a day. But because people have to hear, you know, for me, every time I watch those videos, I don't even really play them for you. I play them for me because it's like a reminder that those people were on their way to hell. That lady can't eat solid food. That guy's angry at God because his daughter was killed. That other guy can't breathe. And it's all it took to turn it around was somebody to take a microphone and start yelling Bible verses at him. And when you do that, the Bible says when you do it, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible does something that no other book can do. Because it's spiritually authored, it doesn't impact the mind. It impacts first the spirit. And it impacts it thusly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is a substance called faith that carries the eternal weight of glory. And when you preach it, it gets into people. And instead, let me ask you this way. What made that lady say, excuse me, I haven't been able to eat food. Can you pray for me? Excuse me. My friend's on oxygen. What would make somebody that didn't even believe in God, if you'd asked those people an hour before, what do you think about God and healing? Oh, they probably would have cursed at you. But then standing there in 102 degree heat and they're preaching, which by the way, even the things that they say that are negative about California, it's hot in LA in the summer. It was 102 in South Dakota. So, and there's no ocean. So there's no bad parts of California. Amen. If you're looking for somebody, I like this place. Say, well, you live here. Well, I don't live here. And I'm telling you as a visitor, there's no bad parts of California. This is a great place. So, again, maybe I'm just happy that I got to eat like great food instead of Waffle House when I got done preaching. But I'm very high on this place right now. What would make somebody that had no use for the Bible or Christianity hear that and then not only say, all right, maybe there's some truth to what he said. No, surrender their life to Christ. Then beyond that, start thinking, hey, what about my friend? What about my esophagus? What about my daughter that lives, you know, I was praying for people's kids that were in prison. Hey, can you pray? People start getting something when they hear the Bible called faith. And you know what the faith can do? Faith, the Bible says, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22. Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God, exclamation point. For anyone that says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, your command will be obeyed. I have notes and points. I'm just going to preach about the gift of faith. I want to tell you what faith, turn to Mark 11. Everybody say special faith. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight's going to be a great night. Mark 11, 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, well, that's me. I'm a disciple. Doesn't say he said to the first 12 apostles and said to Mark, what are you doing writing this down? Don't write it down. I'm just telling you guys, because they're going to make nice pictures about you in churches in Europe. And then that's it. So don't write this down so that people can read it. No, the Bible says a few things. Number one, what I say to one, I say to all. Number two, the Bible says in Acts 10:34, I see very clearly that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're a 51-year-old black lady or a 6-year-old Taiwanese child. He doesn't care. He sees unbelief and he sees faith. And when you have faith, the Bible says, we read this the other night, who has believed our message and to whom is the powerful right arm of the Lord revealed? When you tell God, I believe you. I know I didn't heal that guy's lungs. I couldn't heal a gnat with a damaged wing. When that guy, you know, number one, his friend believed. Number two, he believed. He didn't tell his friend, I'm going to see if this guy will pray for you. The guy said, you go tell that guy to blank off. I don't want him putting his hands on me. I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm on oxygen and you people made me come here. I don't even want to be here. Or he could have even not been that mean about it. He could have went, you know, it's hot out. It's 102. I need to go. But he didn't. He said, no, bring him over and have him pray. He agreed. He believed. See, when you start pointing in the right direction, there's people that are here that because of harsh things that have happened, it pointed your heart in the wrong direction, and then it pointed your mouth in the wrong direction. Death and life is in the power of the... So what happens is, many times the devil only needs to win one major battle early in someone's life, and it's negative. In fact, this is not critical of where you live. I've been positive about where you live. This is a worldwide thing. Many people, the next time that you hear anything positive or faith building will be when you come back to church, to this hotel tomorrow night. Everything you're going to hear in the meantime, I literally can't even put television on anymore. I put on the MLB app to watch baseball because there's no commercials on it. I don't mean I can't watch TV because of nudity and all that. I don't mean those kind of shows. I mean, there's literally nothing I can watch that they're not telling me. Are you a man that's approaching 50 years old? You have a 1 in 6 chance of having prostate cancer. Always getting you thinking about cancer. Hank, did you hear Larry died? He wasn't very old, was he? No, he wasn't. Had a stroke. And they didn't have any life insurance. Do we have any life insurance? What about you? What about me? I'm trying to watch the Dodgers. How about you leave me alone? Every commercial, it's like every commercial break. Something about death, something about cancer, something about divorce, something about nuclear weapons, something about Iran attacking Israel. Let me tell you, you can't listen to that and be a person of faith. But if you change the intake, that's why God brought you here tonight. You can put a different inflow that doesn't say you're going to die, you're going to have cancer. It says you're going to be healed. You're going to live a long life. Your family is blessed. God will do a miracle for you. I came to tell you, no matter what's gone wrong, as you listen to God's word tonight, something is rising in you like a mighty volcano. It's a substance called faith. That faith moves mighty mountains. It parts the Red Sea. And God will do a miracle for you tonight as you believe him in Jesus' name. Let God hear your great hand clap in Los Angeles, all over this place. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. One more time. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm telling you, whatever's gone wrong, when you start believing God's word and speaking it out of your mouth, if people thought I was strong before, I want to start going stronger. Because now that Jerry Savelle's in heaven and we're a man down, then something has to counteract this glut of absolute sewage that gets preached from most pulpits. I mean, no, we don't know why things go wrong. Trust his hand. We don't know why we're in a storm. But Jesus is our anchor in the storm. Where in the Bible was Jesus an anchor in the storm? They didn't wake Jesus up and he made a shape like this. And then they tied a rope to him and threw him over the boat. That's not what he did. He rebuked the storm. He told the waves to shut up. He told the wind to go away. And the boat went through to the other side. And he said he did it by his faith. And the faith that he did it by, he's given to the church, which is his body. You don't have to put up with the storms of life. You don't have to put up with the devil's crap. You have a weapon in your mouth that comes from the word, the two-edged sword that decapitates the devil. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. In the original language, in King James, it's verily I say unto you. It's like the strongest, it'd be the equivalent of Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Like a vow, like the strongest assertion you can make in that language. I'm telling you the truth. You can say, everybody say, I can say. You can say to this mountain, what's a mountain? I mean, we know what it is geographically. But the point of this message is not to get the Sierra Mountains moved to Alabama or Pikes Peak to go to Jacksonville. It's talking about things like that lung problem or that lady. That lady's not supposed to eat again. She's in her 50s. She'll get worse. She's been smoking. You know, sorry. You know, we can manage this. But ultimately, as you get older, I want to tell you something while my blood pressure's up. Anything they tell you, you know, when you lose a child, there's certain things you'll just live with your whole life that never get free from. That's man at best, that's man talking. And many times it's a devil talking. There is literally nothing the devil's done to you that God can't turn around, including Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, and the same anointing that opens blind eyes binds up the brokenhearted. So outside of God, there are things that happen that shatter your heart, and you'll live with that your whole life. Father, I pray you make me more bold this year than I've ever been, because I've started, I can recognize it now. Because after, when you start praying for people, there's looks, there's like, I can tell on somebody's face many times what's wrong. And I've been starting to a little bit. Excuse me, miss. Hi, you lost somebody recently and you've not been able to get over it. And they'll break down on the spot. I don't make it mystical. Let me see your hands. Let me pray for you. Because I can spot it. I can spot grief. I saw somebody write online the other day, grief is a gift from God. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. If grief was a gift from God, where is it in the Garden of Eden? Where is it in the New Jerusalem? What are you, nuts? How much crack do you smoke? I don't like that kind of talk, because what it does is when you accept that religious stuff, what it does is the attack the devil did to your life, that religious doctrine basically builds a fortress around it where you stay in it because you embrace it. The devil, that's what religion does. Religion causes you to embrace the thing that God tells you to reject. They tell you to embrace sin. We all sin every day. How many know we all get sick? How many know things come and we don't know why? They allow you to accept the thing where you become a soft target to the devil. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the devil's attack is the Iranian missile launches, you're going to be the Israeli Iron Dome that blows it out of the sky from this day forward. He might launch the missiles, but God has given you a shield of faith that's better than Iron Dome, that decapitates every attack of the devil in Jesus' name. If you receive that tonight in this great hotel, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Somebody say it out loud. I'm not going down. I'm going up. Say, greater is he who lives in me. Think of that. Who lives in me? Amen. So if Jesus lives in me, and the Bible says he does, the Bible says that. Don't leave here. John, well, that guy said, no, I didn't. I didn't write the Bible. I just yelled it at people. Hallelujah. It's an easy job. Just tell them what God said. That's what preachers do. Preachers preach. You tell people. Don't add your own little thoughts into it. Tell them what the Bible says. And the Bible says, 160 scriptures. See, I thought there were more scriptures than that, but he said 160, so we'll go with him. He seems smart. You guys have Caltech here. Pennsylvania, we just have Hershey's chocolate. Amen. Everybody say, God's power lives in me. Say, the greater one lives in me. Now, that puts a mentality in you that if Christ lives in me, and the Bible says he does, Christ liveth in who? Me. So then if the Bible says Christ liveth in you, the hope of glory, are you out of line to put your hand on your belly and when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and go, thank you, Father, that your son, by a divine mystery, lives on the inside of me. Oh, now that'll beat the hell out. And I mean that literally. That'll beat the hell out of waking up and saying, oh, God, give me help today. As if God's outside and you got to convince him to help you. When you get born again, Christ lives in you. You're not outside of God. I didn't mean to like get this deep and this wound up. But since we're here, you know how hard it was to find somebody like Sister Clarita and Brother Tony that'll sing actual like anointed songs? Instead of, there's no wall he won't tear down running after me. Why are you running? Why does Jesus have to run after you? I'm not running from God. If Jesus came to visit me like he visited Brother Hagin, I want to go like this. You're going to have to catch me. No, I would stand still and listen. Say, Christ lives in me. So I won't sing songs that give me a perspective that I mean, we have to come back to him. I don't have to come back to him. I didn't leave. I don't have to come back to him. I'm talking about if you're saved. We're talking about faith for disciples. Once I have him, I have him. The Bible says I live in him. You don't receive Christ and he puts his arms around you at the altar and says, now you go fill out that card and get a Bible and I'll see you sometime down the road. No, Christ liveth in me. The hope of glory. Put your hand on your belly because that's where your spirit is. John chapter 7. He said, in that day, rivers of living water will flow out from within. But this spake he of the spirit who had not yet been given, but would be given to all who believe. Your spirit's here. That's why even unsaved people say, I had a gut feeling not to take off that day. I had a gut feeling not to take that road because your spirit's not in your head. Your spirit's in your belly. And so put your hand on your belly and say, thank you, Father, that the greater one lives in me. So I have Christ on the inside, according to the word. Then I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is us. Now, the second person of the Trinity, also there in power. Then I also have his word that's a two-edged sword that's so powerful, three scriptures put the devil on the run. All Jesus did was quote the Bible three times and the devil left. So just those things, the word, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And then the gift that the word gives called faith. Somebody explain to me how I can lose in any battle of life. Furthermore, Jesus told you about this gift called faith. Faith is the opposite. The faith message is the opposite of the, well, we'll see what God does. He's sovereign. No, God didn't say, leave it in my hands. God put it in your hand. He gave you power over all the work of the devil. And he gave you death and life that's in the power of your tongue. So you can speak death to your life. You can close your mouth and not get anything. Or you can make up your mind on this Wednesday night. Enough is enough. I'm going to have the blessing of God. My family is blessed. I am blessed. I am healed. I am saved. I have victory over sin. If that sounds like you, shout amen like thunder. Amen. Say it one more time. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Now just lift your hands and begin to thank God. Use that mouth the right way. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you that your hand's on my life. Thank you that you live on the inside of me. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the precious people of California. Thank you for the many of them going through hell for three straight years, but they would not bow to Baal or kiss his face. Now we thank you, a reward is coming to the people of California. Heaven's reward. The devil's time is over. Now a window is open. The clouds have parted. Let the power of God be poured out on this great place. In Jesus' name. Have faith in God. For I tell you the truth, Jesus said.
You and as faith preachers?
I'm not an unbelief preacher.
You and as faith preachers?
Oh, is faith bad? Is it listed in the Bible as a bad thing or a good thing? Not everybody at once. Is faith listed as a bad thing or a good thing? It's not only listed as a good thing, it's arguably listed as the best thing. Without faith, it's not difficult to please God. It's impossible to please God. You know, no wonder why CNN and MSNBC and CNBC, there's only one type of preacher. They don't just criticize the church. You don't see them do things on, I won't name denominations and stuff. There's one type they don't like. Faith preachers.
I think he's one of those faith preachers.
You think, right?
He's telling us people God will heal them.
Yeah, the Bible tells you that. He's one of these faith preachers tell people that if they come and do what the Bible says, that God will bless them. Yes, the Bible says that. There is a curse for disobedience, and there is a supernatural divine reward for obedience. And I came here, if you were looking, I told you this every night, if you were looking for a preacher to come to California, tell you how rotten you are and how sinful you are, God's going to drop this place in the Pacific Ocean with an earthquake, then you need to go to somebody else's meeting. God's not looking to tear California down. God is looking to bless the people of California. And I'll add something to it. The people he's going to use to do it aren't out there somewhere in the sky. They're here sitting in this room. And God's using tonight to put a gift called faith on the inside of you, that the one that used to be a victim is not only going to get free, you're going to stand up and deliver other captives and say, I know what it was like to be you. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and I have power over the devil because Jesus gave it to me. Somebody shout a living hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil's not going to have California. People irritate me. Not you, but some other people. I feel like God's going to judge California. Okay, so then God, so is that why God sent me here to preach? So I could get smacked? He wants to burn me up. He wants me to be in an earthquake. So then explain that to me. I believe God's looking to judge America. So then why is he having me preach here? God doesn't send preachers to, in the new covenant, God, even in the old covenant, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to give him a message to save Nineveh. And he doesn't send preachers somewhere to judge it. He poured out his judgment on Christ. And this is the time that's been given for people to reach out and be saved. People should be thankful I'm a Christian. Because I'm telling you, it irritates me. I believe God's going to judge California. Okay, so then I don't hear from God then. So I'm here because you know more than me. See, anybody can be some cranky, trying to think of words you can use in church. No. No. Debatable. It's easy to be some cranky individual as long as you know on the inside I'm not saying individual. I'm from West, my family's from West Virginia, so there's things that are okay to say there. I don't know how California feels about it. So we'll go with individual. It's easy to be a cranky individual that just goes on Facebook and tells them, California, can you believe this? Can you believe that they would allow this? First of all, they aren't allowing it. Is everybody here in government? Are all of you the governor? Are all of you senators? No. So is God going to hold? How many people live in California now? Roughly. No, I don't mean show ahead. I know we're all here. Yes. I know we're not in some ghost world. But thank you. How many of you are in California? I'll admit to it. How many people live in California? What's the number? Everybody go to... They still have schools here? How many million? 40 million? 40 million. Okay, so is God going to kill 40 million people because of eight people? Because of eight people that are against him? You know, because the devil runs the media, he controls it. If we ended up, let's say we win a second week, which we're not because we're going to Washington State, but let's say the meeting started to supernaturally grow and we went half full, three quarters full, then all the way full. Well, then we added in morning meetings. And then you started to have like 40 people get saved a day. Then it went up to 100 people. And we were getting, say we got a tank. We got permission from the Sheraton. They let us have a tank in, started baptizing people. You think they're going to lead the news with that? Coming up at 11, a great revival has broken out in LA. People are coming to Christ. But actually, in America right now, it's actually starting to hit a boiling point where they're not being able to keep it off the news. The University of Auburn, where Charles Barkley went to school, they're baptizing students every day in the main fountain of the university. That's happening at other, not just Bible colleges, secular schools. And that's not going to be in one state or one city. This is not the devil's time. This is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost before Christ comes back. And if you think California is going to be left out, I've got news for you. You're sadly mistaken. God is going to pour out his spirit one more time on all flesh, including California flesh. If you believe that with me, let's take 15 seconds and celebrate it. Clap your hands. Rejoice. Let God know that's why you're here. Somebody shout amen like thunder. Let's say it one more time. The Lord is good. and his mercy endures forever. One more time. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and begin to thank God even right now. The windows of heaven are open. The blessing is falling tonight. I've got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since Jesus made everything right, I gave him my old filthy garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight. Look at you getting up and stretching yourself. That's faith. See, people are moving on it now. California is not, they are great people. They understand faith. Some of the greatest moves of God that ever hit America hit right here. Azusa Street. Amy Simple McPherson, Brother Hagin ran up and down this place. God has not forgotten the state of California. It's going to get hit with an earthquake, but not an earthquake of physical, but an earthquake in the spiritual. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will obey your command. But you must really believe it'll happen and not doubt in your heart. I tell you the truth. You can pray for what? Anything. Is that a need or a want? It's anything. You can pray for anything. And if you believe that you have received it, when you pray, you'll possess it. God spoke. Who has a King James Bible? Let me see yours real quick, if you don't mind. I'll give it back. No problem. I'm super strong. Mark 11. Jesus answering unto them saith, have faith in God. Now listen to 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, Brother Tony, put into praise. I'm not going to be that much longer. I'm in a happy mood. Between that Holy Ghost and that cheesesteak, I feel like I can run through a wall and leap over a troop. For verily I say unto you, whosoever, everybody say whosoever. There's an old Baptist song. The whole title is, whosoever surely meaneth me. That means the guy realized, hey, anywhere it says whosoever, I can put my name there. For I say unto you, Jonathan can say to this mountain, say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if he shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he saith. That great passage mentions what you believe once and what you say three times. Because most people don't miss it in their believing. They miss it in their speaking. That's why Jesus emphasized what you say. Your faith can never rise higher than your confession, no matter how many people pray for you. You can call every preacher on television and have them and their wife pray for you if you won't change your confession. Some people, before the prayer's been finished, 10 seconds. I mean it. Like literally 10 seconds. Will you pray for my husband? I want him to get saved. In Jesus' name, let her husband be saved. We thank you for it and give you praise. Amen. Thank you. It's just he never listens and never goes. See, you never change what you say. Until you line your mouth up with what you believe, nothing ever changes. Because the death and life's not in the power of the heart. It's in the power of the... Now, obviously, what you put in your heart is going to determine what your tongue says. Because out of the abundance of the mouth speaks. If you've been coming to these meetings night after night, which, by the way, if nobody told you, there's no parking tonight, and there's a fee, and there's no parking any night. So if you want to come every night, I don't like repeat this show. I'm not a Las Vegas magician, and it's the same thing tomorrow night. This is not Cirque du Soleil, where it's the same show every night. This is building night upon night. Can you say amen? And I want you to covenant to make these next 48 hours the most spiritual 48 hours you've ever had. Thursday and Friday, we're going to give the devil the biggest kick to the huevos he's ever had in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to see L.A. shaken by the power of God. God's going to put his fire on people here and use you to run the devil clean out of Southern California. Can you say amen? Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you fill your heart with the word. If you've been coming night after night, you've probably caught yourself saying different things this week than what you normally said. And when you hear it come out of your mouth, almost go, who's that talking? That doesn't sound like me. Normally, you were cursing your own life. Normally, the devil just backed off and said, you know what? She does a better job ruining her life with her own mouth than I could ever hope to do. And I'm not picking on women, men too. Any gender. Amen. Sorry, I forgot I was in California. Any of the 61 genders you are, if you don't speak correctly, it'll affect your life. How many can say amen? Well, everyone got mad, but two people laughed hard, and the Lord apparently was worth it for the two people. So everybody say, my words. My words. By your words will you be justified, and by your words will you be condemned. So there's a, let me just tell you a couple things, and I'll leave you alone. By leave you alone, I mean pray for you. Say with me, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Then the Bible says in the second part of that verse, that's in the book of Proverbs, those that indulge therein shall enjoy the fruit thereof, either life or death, meaning your mouth produces fruit. So depending on what church background you go to, they either won't deal with this subject, or if you went to like my background, they'll only deal with the negative part. I mean, you know, sometimes we say bad things, we curse and tell dirty jokes, and it's true. I'm not advocating cursing and telling dirty jokes. But just like you can speak death to your life, you also can turn your mouth. The Bible says in the book of James that just like a rudder is a tiny member of a ship, but can destroy that whole ship. The tongue, though it's the smallest member of the body, has the power to sink that life. And then it says, it's set on fire by hell itself. No man can control it. So you know why I'm going to lay hands on you tonight? Because I'm actually just finding out right now from the Holy Ghost myself. Is because if your tongue is set on fire by hell itself and no man can control it, then that would make it sound like we don't have a chance. But that's why the first thing that happened when God poured out the Holy Ghost is cloven tongues of fire were set on their head and he gave them a different speech, because man can't control the tongue, but the Holy Ghost controls the tongue. Can you say amen? So what you can't do in your own strength, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you pop up off the floor and start saying things you never said before. And when you start saying things you never said before, you'll start doing things you've never done before. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, set me on fire, O Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Prondo reka tiesta, mondo reka, indiara botie, bindiara mondie. I was preaching out of Mark chapter 9 on a Wednesday night, and I preached out of the note in Dake's Bible underneath Mark 9. And the father brought his son that was demon-possessed and suffered from seizures and was deaf and mute. And he went on about what all the devil had done to his son. Then when it got time to say something positive, he said to Jesus, please help us do something if you can. And Jesus got irritated. Mark 9:22. What do you mean if I can? Then the great scripture, Mark 9:23. All things are possible to who? Him that believeth. Everybody say, I'm a believer. I believe that. I believe that's why you're here tonight. Nobody fights this traffic and comes in. I saw people putting on Instagram pictures of them taking the bus and all that. People here from Modesto. Modesto's far from here. On Google Maps, it's over 3 inches away, which is very far. People came here and did plenty to do, kids in school and stuff, and here you are making time for God. So I believe that you're a believer. Sat here, praised and worshiped, listening to the word. So the Bible says that when you believe in your heart, God said, all things are possible, not just with God. See, all scripture is inspired. So obviously Matthew 19:26 is a great scripture. Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but never with God. For with God, how many things are possible? But then, if you're going to learn the Bible, the enemy would rather you learn that verse than learn this one. Because then it's still like, well, God can do anything. But then Mark 9:23 takes it out of his hand and puts it in your hand. Because God can do anything. But he doesn't do it without you. He does it with you. The Bible, you know where it says that? Since I'm not getting many amens, let me prove my case. Ephesians 3. Turn to Ephesians 3. Everybody say, I have a part to play. I mean, no, we have to leave it in his hands. No, he left it in your hands. All power has been given unto you. Ephesians 3. Verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able. Usually when they quote this verse, they leave out the middle part. They'll say it like this. Now all glory to God, who's able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask, hope, or think. But there's another part in there. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us. Where's the power at work? So you go into cooperation with God. Now, I guess that would probably be in a nutshell what they would call the, quote, faith message. And that's why it takes so much heat from the press and from religion. Because if you say, well, we have to leave it up to God. If I was leaving things up to God, I'd be in Pittsburgh with my wife and daughter. No, we'll just keep California in prayer. I refuse. I refuse to be a Christian that every time I hear of a tragedy somewhere, how many on this Sunday before we get into praise and worship, how many heard about the mass shooting in St. Louis? Let's keep the families in prayer. Keep the victims in prayer. I've read the Bible. I don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus just popping up once a week and asking to keep Herod in prayer or whatever. He went and taught the people many things and worked the works of Christ. So God is able to do infinitely above and beyond what we would ask or think, but it's done a certain way. According to his mighty power, not out there, that worketh where? Again, that's why you almost hear zero talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit anymore. It's some like Pentecostal side doctrine. If anybody knows about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's Los Angeles. Because when you think baptism in the Holy Spirit, you basically think of two places, Jerusalem and Los Angeles. It was like the first outpouring was in Jerusalem. Then people quit teaching on it. Then a guy found out that it was still for today. They kicked him out of every church. He traveled west, got a feed store on Azusa Street in Los Angeles and began to teach. And people by the thousands came from all over the world and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it went to 800 million people in less than 100 years, because that is the answer for today. What? Listen. What is the answer to the fentanyl epidemic, to the mental health crisis, to the cancer avalanche? What is the answer to this avalanche of attack of the devil? It is for a group of people to say, Father, fill me anew and afresh with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Set my tongue on fire with your word. May I speak to every mountain and command it to move. And when God raises up a group of people like that, the devil's not going to know what hit him in this last hour of time. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit that worketh mightily on the inside of you. Come on, take 30 seconds and clap and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let it rip. Pull the ripcord. Turn the engine on the inside. I'm not going down. I'm going up. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm not taking a backward step. I'm going forward. Forward. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Stay on your feet, everybody. I don't want to stop, but I'll stop. Because if you preach people to their feet, what else am I going to do? Keep going and try to get you 10 feet to levitate in the air? It's praying time. I want to tell you, this isn't hype. When you combine the fire of the Holy Ghost with the Word of God on the inside of you, and then you start loosening it out of your mouth, it starts changing things. We have a baseball team in Pittsburgh called the Pirates. They're like the Los Angeles Dodgers, except they never win. So I would go there because their games are very boring and hardly anybody would buy tickets. I like going during the week. I had preached for 50 straight days, which back then was a lot for me, and I was very tired. So I went to the game to just chill. There's no action. You go to a hockey game, it's not relaxing. Your pulse is like at 310 the whole time. Baseball, it's like the sports equivalent of Ambien. So I bought my food and I sat down and I got to my seat early because I didn't want to get up again. Whether this makes you think more of me or less of me, I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody. If somebody was next to me and told me, I feel lost, I need the Lord, I would say, well, I hope you find some help. Amen. I was done. I was like spent. This was going to be my 4-hour sabbatical. And so I tell you that because when what happened, I knew it was the Spirit of God because I didn't care in my flesh. I was like spent, wiped. What do you say for tired in L.A.? Like in Pennsylvania, they'd say I was wiped or spent. What do you guys say? Huh? Exhausted. Okay, so we'll go with that. I was exhausted. I'm not sure if I could spell that, but I was exhausted. So as I'm sitting there waiting for the freaking game to start, the PA announcer comes on. Tonight is Stand Up to Cancer night. All right, you know, do whatever you want. But I didn't stand up. I stood for the national anthem. That's it. I wanted to sit. I've been standing up for 50 straight days. And then he says this. Under your seat is a placard, a Stand Up to Cancer card, and there's a space where you can write in the name of somebody you know that was affected by cancer. Please do that. Then they said, everyone lift your sign over your head and repeat after me. Either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. When I heard that, I know it was God, because again, I didn't care. I was tired, but like a volcano on the inside of me, I got so mad because I realized, just like I'm on a mission to preach the word of God to the people and get them to say the Bible, by his stripes I'm healed. He took all my sickness and removed all my disease. But then the devil works, think of it. God can't help you till you believe his word and speak it. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How come everybody's not killed and destroyed? Because he can't just come and get you till he gets you to believe his thing and speak his thing. So I thought, surely these people aren't all going to say this. The PA announcer, now repeat after me. You know, you feel like saying, who's the PA announcer? Lucifer? Who has a group of people lift their hands up and say, either me or somebody I know is going to be affected by cancer in my lifetime? I mean, if I wasn't a Christian, I don't think I would say that. I would say, no, I'm not. No, thanks. But like a mighty chorus of drones, either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. And I thought, you foul devil. No wonder as they've raised awareness and passed ribbons out. Has the cancer rate gone up or down? Up. Because what you focus on multiplies. And I got so mad as everybody sat down. I wasn't thinking of this. I stood up. Just like you weren't planning on standing up, but when I was preaching faith into you, it got you out of your seat. It so stirred me. I stood up and I said, not me! I mean, loud. And there weren't that many people at the game. There's like 4,000 because it was before the game started. I said, not me. Everybody's heads whipped around. I wasn't talking to them. I wasn't talking to the PA guy. I was talking to the devil. Just so you know, not only am I not agreeing with that, I disagree. I disagree. I had somebody tell me last month, we were talking, they went, well, agree to disagree. I said, no, I disagree to disagree. I don't agree to disagree. I'm right. You're wrong. And I felt more strongly about this than that. Don't tell me I'm not opening a door for that with my mouth. I'm shutting the door and bolting it. And tonight, whatever door's been opened, where hell's been free to come in and go out as it pleases, that door is being sealed shut in Jesus' mighty name. I got up and said, not me. Everybody say, not me.
Not me.
I pray you start doing that in your own house. Are you a man over the age of 60? None of your business. Are you going to the bathroom more than you used to? Well, you're weird. Stop asking me questions. Put the Dodgers back on. I'm not agreeing with that. You're not getting me thinking about prostate cancer. You're not getting me thinking about wet age-related macular degeneration. One commercial after another. No. Jesus already dealt with that when he took stripes on his back. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. That's why my friend over there is already out of his apparatus, twisting himself around, because faith will do that. I'm not a victim. I'm a champion. Say it so the devil can hear you. I'm not a victim. I'm a champion. So I healed. Not me. Neither me nor anybody I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. And I sat down. I was just, you know, and I was so ticked off. You guys say that here? Like angry. I was so angry that I didn't care what anyone thought. But then the guy next to me, he was an older guy, had a long white beard. He was already on beer number two. And he went, what'd you say? So I was thinking he was going to like want to change seats or something. So I told him, I said, well, I said, I'm not agreeing with that, that me or anybody I know is going to have cancer in my lifetime. I said the opposite. So I said, not me, neither me or anybody I know is going to have cancer in my lifetime. He was seated because I had just sat down. And he took, when I said that to him, he nodded his head, took his pitcher of beer and stood up and went, me too. And I got one drunk turned around at that baseball game that night. And I'm looking to get a few more people turned around in California tonight. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm not going to have what the... I'm not going to have what the world has. I'm going to have what the Word has. I live here, but I'm not having their problems. Jesus pulled me out of that pit. I take my inheritance. Come on, let it rip. Now, I feel the gift of faith in this place. Say this out loud. I have what God said I have. I can do what God says I can do. I'm seated where God says I'm seated. Far above all demons, all witches, all wizards, all the power of the devil is under my feet. I take my dominion now. I take my authority now. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Go ahead, take 30 seconds, clap your hands and shout again. I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm not going down. I'm not battling things that Jesus already won. I'm not doing it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stay on your feet. It'll remind me to wrap up, even though I don't want to. They're the nicest people I've ever preached to. Say it out loud. I have faith. And faith works from my heart through my mouth. So let me tell you one more thing. I had preached that night on Mark 9 where Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? And there's a note in the Dake Annotated Reference Bible. If the language of unbelief. This lady that has both your hands up, not in your hand, come right into the aisle. Power of God's all over you. I'm not going to make you wait. In fact, after I pray for you, you don't even have to give in the offering or anything. You go straight home for all I care. You can go home rejoicing and shouting. Lift your hands right there. I tell you from the Lord, enough is enough. The same way God put a death sentence on that guy's emphysema, and the same way the Lord healed that woman's esophagus to hold food down, whatever long-standing problem you've been dealing with, it leaves you right now permanently, and you'll never battle it again. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So I preached the whole Wednesday night on that note, if the language of unbelief. And the notice how when people say, if it be your will, and they mix if is not in the vocabulary of faith. That faith is confident on what the will of God is. So I preached on that for an hour and a half on if the language of unbelief. Then the next day I flew to Scottsdale, Arizona with my family because that's where I like going. I like to go in the summer because nobody's there. I can just be by myself. There's nobody. Even the devil leaves Arizona. Says it's too hot for me. So I was there on vacation and I said to my wife in the car, it was me, my wife in the passenger seat, and my daughter in the back in the car seat. Kids pay attention. Better attention than adults. I said, Adonis, wouldn't it be great if instead of always getting a resort and paying that, if God gave us our own home here and we could just stay at our own house? And when I paused, even before my wife could answer, Camila was on her iPad. She went, if the language of unbelief. I said, so I realized, yeah, I did. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave us a home here? I said, all right. Maybe I should pay better attention to my sermons. So I said, I wanted to scold her, but she was right. I said, that's true, Camila. I said, what should I have said? She went, she shrugged, never looked up. Said, if I was you, I would just say, thank you, Lord, for a house in Arizona. And you say, yeah. She talks like that because she's a little child. She doesn't know how much those homes cost in Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. That's right. And that's why the Bible didn't say that children need to have adult faith. He said adults need to have childlike faith. Because God also doesn't care how much homes cost in Scottsdale. He fed 1.3 million people in the desert every day. And when they wanted to change a menu, he brought quail up from the sea and fed them with that. Can you say amen? So through life, even me, I guess, through life, life has a way of putting a wet blanket and a damper on your faith. Somebody dies that you were praying for. Something harsh happens in your life. And the devil tries to make that to be the stopping point of your faith. But I would encourage everybody that's here, because there's probably not anybody over the age of 11 or 13 that hasn't been through something very hard. Don't give the devil the satisfaction of making that your stopping point. Make up your mind. Devil, if you thought you were going to hit me with that shot and it was going to take me out, it might have taken out 99 out of 100 people, but you're about to meet the one out of 100 that's going to get back up off the mat and kick your tail and make you sorry you didn't kill me when you had the chance. Anybody ever hear of a guy named Dr. John G. Lake? John G. Lake had 13 kids in his family, and seven of them died before they hit 18. This is the 1800s. That was a normal thing. Then his wife got sick and was ready to die. And he sent word to a preacher named John Alexander Dowie, can you pray for my wife? He was Methodist. You know, they didn't believe in healing. And he got a message back, your wife will live, and his wife got healed that day. So he moved down to Chicago, to Zion City, Illinois, because he wanted to hear this guy preach. And he said, and I'm quoting, when I heard that sickness was of the devil and healing was from God, he said, before the church had taught me that we don't know sick, both good and bad things come from his hand. He said, but when I realized from the Bible that sickness is the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin, and that healing is of God, every fiber of my being rose up to fight it. See, religion lulls you to sleep, but the word brings you to life. And so, you know, religion, you can always tell when people have religion and they don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't have the Bible. They walk around like the third guy from the left on the evolution chart.
Amen. Amen. How many of you know we don't understand sometimes what God allows? We just trust him in the storm and know that he's holding us close and he's touching our hearts and lives. And
just talking that freaking nursing home voice. You know, we sent our Bible con students to the nursing home to preach to the nursing home people, and they were preaching hard. And boom, they told me more people were coming out of their rooms wheeling over. They wanted to hear where the life was. Can you say amen? Wiping the vanilla pudding off their chin. What is this? I like this. Keep preaching. Can you say amen? That's called faith, brother. Faith is a magnet. Faith will draw people. I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to what God has in store, not just tonight, but tomorrow and Friday. I'm looking forward to reading all the positive news stories coming out of Southern California of how revivals are inexplicably breaking out. And though they gave word, hey, by the way, Azusa Street, Amy Simple McPherson had the biggest church in the country that was here. And then where was Billy Graham's first big crusade that gave him his break? Right in Los Angeles. So I got three evidences that God loves this city. And there's something in this city. Hey, you know, my wife's Puerto Rican, so I know a little Spanish. Did you know Los Angeles doesn't mean the city of devils? It means the city of angels. Hallelujah. I claim that what this city was named for, that mighty angels of the Lord are going to begin to undergird and strengthen and protect. Hallelujah. We're not in a demonized place. We're in a place that the people that founded it said God's angels are in this place. Billy Graham didn't think this was a bad spot. This is where his ministry broke out. Hallelujah. I hear the sound of the armies of the Lord. Yes, there are those that are against us, but there's more with us. There's more with us. Lord, open their eyes and let them see there's more with us than there are with them. Go ahead, play a little bit. Lift your hands, receive that anointing. You believe the gift of faith can get on an instrument? Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Come on, let it rip. Praise him on the saxophone. Praise him on the cymbals. Praise him on the stringed instrument. Let everything that has breath. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. Going to find out in the Bible, unbelief has a partner. Just like Wyatt Earp had Doc Holliday. Unbelief has a partner. When the people said, we're not able to take the country, they began to cry all night. Unbelief has a partner. It's sorrow. When you carry unbelief, sorrow comes with it. But faith, like Wyatt Earp has Doc Holliday, faith has a running buddy. And it's not sorrow, it's joy. And it's not normal joy. It's joy unspeakable and full. You can't talk faith too much before you start getting a little bit tipsy, intoxicated. Not with Jose Cuervo, not with Grey Goose, but with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. I see that wine being poured out in Los Angeles on the Mexicans. On the Dominicans, on the Taiwanese, on the Chinese, on the Korean, on every flesh. Hallelujah. He's going to touch you tonight. You're never the same. Drink. Drink of that heavenly drink. Hey. Hey. Woo.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.